Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, looking at this Giants series, talking about the September roster expansion, looking around the league and celebrating some of the best young pitchers in the game. And I've got some thoughts from being at the ballpark this weekend, talking with some folks that I'd like to share with you. But the news that we got earlier in the week on Monday, the September 1st roster additions, I talked about this during the live show on Sunday. You might have heard about it on the podcast the last couple of days. But in the past, you used to be able to bring up everybody on your 40-man roster. Now, Major League Baseball has decided two guys. That's it. And it's something that was negotiated in the most recent, actually, I think it was two CBAs ago. And they expanded the rosters from 25 to 26, which thereby gave you 6 new months of service time for the Players Association, looking at it from that perspective. And then adding 2 more, okay, that gives you essentially 8 new months guaranteed of service time. And so Players Association thought that was a lot better because, you know what, not every team is going to bring up 8 players for that final 1 month. So overall, better for the Players Association, more guys making their debut and getting opportunities and not having to wait until September. For Colorado, they added a pitcher and a hitter. You got to be balanced. Can't have more than 13 when there's a 26-man roster, and you can't have more than 14 currently when there's a 28-man roster like there is for the final month of the season. Ryan Rollison, the lefty, as expected, called up. Now, sure, he has a 7.41 ERA in his 26 outings. He's given up far too many long balls, but with Luis Peralta and him in that bullpen, you might be able to mix and match just a little bit more. If one of them ends up getting into trouble, you can option them down to AAA, maybe a phantom 15-day IL stint, what have you, and then give Carson Palmquist an opportunity as a lefty in the pen. Maybe even Lucas Gilbreth. Either one of those guys probably checks off that box. Going forward, you know, who has more value to other organizations? I could see maybe Carson Palmquist being that guy. And so you'd want to protect him more so than a Lucas Gilbreth. But to the Colorado, you know, Lucas Gilbreth, a great hometown guy, incredible clubhouse guy, absolutely incredible. Definitely missed him, seeing him around the clubhouse this year at Coors Field. So he's got more value to the Rockies in that way. So we'll see what happens during these final couple weeks of the season. And on the position player side, Drew Romo gets the promotion. And, you know, he's been fine, did have a slow or delayed start, I should say, to his 2025 campaign, injured his thumb sliding into a base on the final day of spring training down on the minor league side of camp. And hit .264, .329 on base percentage, .409 slugging percentage. Not great in terms of the Pacific Coast League, a hitter's haven, and definitely a step back from what he was able to do in his age 22 season last year when he hit nearly .300 with a .339 on base percentage. So right around the same spot, but he did hit for more power, nearly 100 points more with a .499 slugging percentage. And manager Warren Schaefer said before Monday's game that ultimately Romo is back with the team to learn, quote unquote, to learn. And I think that's ultimately code for saying he's not going to play much. He's an insurance policy for Goodman and Fulford late in games. You know, why not Zach Veen? Why not somebody else as a bat? But I think this does allow Warren Schaefer to mix and match a little bit more. I did mention that the other day, that, you know, this is going to, again, just allow you to move those pieces and the catcher spot around a little bit more, be maybe a little bit more aggressive coming off the bench. Romo is a fine defensive catcher. So if you have to go to your bench and you like a better matchup, maybe Jordan Beck has the day off and you want to go with him instead of Fulford, whatever it may be, then Well, Beck can't catch, but he can hit. And then you bring in Drew Romo late in that ballgame. So it does give them an extra bullet, maybe not offensively, but defensively. And because of that defensive ability that he has behind the plate, that allows more flexibility in general. You know, a lot of people still talking a little bit about that game on Labor Day, the 8-2 loss to the Giants, mostly for Ezekiel Tovar. Because now this is a guy that, you know, his power is still developing and he's getting bigger and bigger. From, you know, there was a good month stretch, maybe even more than that, where I didn't see him around the ballpark. He was on the IL, he was rehabilitating, he was around. I just didn't come across him. And he looked noticeably more muscular. You know, not a ton where maybe you raise your eyebrow. No, just he's getting bigger. You know, for a guy that, you know, debuted at 21, he's just gets bigger and bigger incrementally each year. Not a ton, but enough that when you stop and think about how young he is and what he looked like just a couple years ago when he made his debut, he has done really well to take care of his body and follow somewhat of that Charlie Blackmon plan of attack. So power is still developing, but still, 100th career double on Monday. Only he and Nolan Arenado have ever reached that milestone for the Rockies before the age of 25. I went one further. I took it one step further. And on Stathead, crunched the numbers, only 12 shortstops. I put a minimum of 75% of a player's career at shortstop. So only 12 shortstops have ever reached 100 doubles before their age 24 season. Tovar now on that list. The last one to do it, Carlos Correa in 2018. He has been a pretty good big leaguer. But Patrick, you may be asking, isn't Ezekiel Tovar 24 years old right now? Yes, he is. Here's how your age season works. If your birthday is on July 1st or after, essentially after the middle point of the season, right? The final 3 months of the season versus the first 3 months. If it comes July 1st or after, your age does not go up by 1 year. I know that was true for Charlie Blackmon. So Ezekiel Tovar played a majority of this season as a 23-year-old. So he turns 24 at the beginning of August. He played a majority at 23 years old. So this is his age 23 season. And next year, he'll play a majority of it at 24 years old. So there will be his age 24 season, even though in August, he'll turn 25. He's 24 right now, but this is his age 23 season. Tovar, also the third quickest in Rockies franchise history to reach 100 doubles. He did it in 390 games. Dante Bichette did it in 347 games, and Larry Walker in 374. Those guys played when there was no humidor. That's crazy. And those guys were essentially 30 years old or older. They were no spring chickens like Ezekiel Tovar, who is the quickest to reach 100 career doubles all as a Rocky. So good to see Tovar in this season that unfortunately has been impacted by a couple injuries. You know, he is able to make something out of it. I also, reflecting on the big day that Drew Gilbert had on Monday, going 4-for-4 with a homer to extend the Giants' homer streak to 15 consecutive games, most for them in 2001, and thought, okay, speaking of the Barry Bonds era Giants, Bonds hit 45 homers in 2004 and then was done. Like, think about that. He didn't retire. It wasn't a situation like you have David Ortiz stepping away or Buster Posey. There's been other instances of players having really good years and stepping away. But 45 home runs for Barry Bonds in 2004, was hurt for a lot of the 2005 season. He only hit 5. 2006 comes back, age 41 season with 26 homers in under 500 plate appearances. And then 2007 was an all-star, hit 28 home runs, led the league in on-base percentage, .480. Dude walked 132 times, intentionally walked 54 times as a 42-year-old, and just didn't have a job. No one wanted him. Crazy how that ended up working out. But Bonds hit 45 home runs in 2004. That's the last time anybody from that franchise has reached 30 home runs in a season. 30. That's it. So as you watch Wednesday night's game, keep an eye on Willy Adames, because dude entered this week with 25 homers with 4 weeks remaining. Crazy to think that not an incredibly consistent shortstop like Willy Adames, but still a shortstop might end up snapping that drought after, you know, a lot of really good Giants players coming through there. You know, Pat Burrell missed. Pablo Sandoval signs a big contract, doesn't get that done. Buster Posey never hitting that mark. So a lot of really good Giants power hitters still never hit 30. That has something to do with that ballpark. That's one of the reasons why they always have good pitching, but they are lacking on the hitting side. Some of that has to do with the ballpark. Looking ahead for the Rockies this weekend against the Padres, you might have seen Xander Bogaerts went on the IL with a non-displaced foot fracture. That'll welcome the return of Jose Iglesias once again, who should get the bulk of playing time there at shortstop. I mentioned how it's a good time to be a young starting pitcher. You know, you saw on Friday, Peyton Tolley making his Red Sox debut against Paul Skeens, another dude who's crazy young with a big old burly mustache, looking a lot older. He's 22 years old and he looks about 32. It's pretty wild. But Red Sox promote him. They get rid of Walker Buehler and his $21 million contract. But Peyton Tolley, if you don't know anything about him, dude was a second round pick last year out of TCU. That's right. Last year, he was taking 8 picks after the Rockies selected another outfielder in Jared Thomas. But Tolley is a Stillwater, Oklahoma guy, so you would have thought maybe they'd have kicked the tires on him just a little bit. But he was shut down at the end of last season, so he didn't even make his pro debut until this year. He was limited to the complex, but he made his pro debut this year, the number two prospect in the Red Sox organization, number one pitcher, 6'6", just a big dude in general. And then a little smaller guy, but still effective, Jonah Tong, another 22-year-old who was a seventh-round pick out of a Canadian high school back in 2022. He looked really solid in his debut on Friday night, 5 innings, 1 earned run. He's the guy, you might have seen the pictures and the comparisons, looking a lot, not a little, a lot like Tim Lincecum with his delivery. Pretty incredible. Mets also getting a ton of help from another rookie. He's an old man at 24 years old. But Nolan McLain, third round pick by the Mets in 2023, also from Stillwater. At least he went to Oklahoma State, which is in Stillwater. So yeah, he was a Stillwater resident. We'll count it. But dude's been unbelievable through his first 3 starts with the Mets. In fact, Tong and McLain together, only pair of Mets starting pitchers in franchise history to win in their major league debuts in the same season. McLain, 20 innings pitched, 20.1 innings pitched in his first 3 starts, 0.89 ERA, 21 strikeouts to 4 walks, arguably the best first 3 starts in Mets history. Better than Jacob DeGrom, better than...
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
And Tom Seaver, terrific Tom Seaver, Hall of Famer. Jacob DeGrom, Hall of Famer? I'm not as convinced. That's going to be one that I'm going to have to chew on for a little bit. Right now, I'm in the no, but a lot's going to have to happen in the next few years, or really just examining his numbers, because he's certainly not a compiler. But when things start to shake out and we go back and look at his era, look at his prime, if there's really nobody else, that's another piece, is Hall of Famers are the best players of their generation, of their era. And if there aren't really any comparable players, and yes, when you look at his prime, there really weren't many that were comparable, but if there are enough that are close and they were able to compile, that wouldn't bode well for Jacob DeGrom. But when you go and look at, you know, how elite he was during that period, and if there's really nobody that close, which, you know, there wasn't, or at least for a short period of time, you could make that case. But I think we've got a way to go until that does happen. DeGrom probably on the outside looking in right now. did want to mention that over in Japan, the Seibu Lions have decided they are probably going to post right-hander Kona Takahashi this offseason. He's a starting pitcher who turned 29 earlier this year, so next year will be his age 30 season. Takahashi coming off a good season, not one of his better ones, but 2.95 ERA, 13.8% strikeout rate this season. It's his 11th year over in the Nippon Professional Baseball. So he's going to be a player that, because he's 30 and because he's not having an over-the-top dominant season, he's not going to even cost what someone like a Shota Imanaga ended up getting, which one of the reasons why I think he ended up with such a large contract was because he was coming over the same year as Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And so you go and look and say, well, he was in his age 30 season and was still able to manage to get 2 years, 22.5 guaranteed with a bunch of team options going forward at about $20 million. So, you know, he's going to be affordable. I've even seen some comparisons for Takahashi where, you know, could be under $5 million for 2 years. And already there's been some teams that have sent evaluators over to Japan and have sort of investigated him a little bit, if you will, or really done a good job of getting to know him or getting to know people around him. And in the Seibu Lions organization, Angels, A's, Blue Jays, Cardinals, Mariners, Rangers have all scouted Takahashi's starts. So maybe it's just due diligence, but they're doing their things. For the Rockies, unfortunately, they've got no boots on the ground in Japan or Korea. Rockies are actually still waiting for their first Japanese-born player since Kaz Matsui in 2007. I don't believe Colorado has ever signed a player directly out of Japan to a major league deal. I know in 2003, they signed a relief pitcher, Yusuke Arakawa, from the Japanese Industrial League, which is essentially a minor league. But that was it. And he never played in the majors, played three minor league seasons from 2005 to 2005, 3.94 ERA as a reliever. And, you know, when you look back at some of the other Japanese players for the Rockies, Max Suzuki, Masato Yoshi, Kaz Matsui, as I mentioned, Rockies were all their second or third team. Now, while I was kind of double checking my history, and there were two other Japanese-born players or players born in Japan, Jeff McCurry and Craig House. I'll say that again, Jeff McCurry and Craig House, born in Japan, but born on, you know, Air Force bases, naval bases, over in Japan. So they were not of Japanese descent. But in double-checking this history, I learned something pretty wild I did not know. The first Japanese player to record a stolen base in Major League Baseball was Masato Yoshi, June 24th, 2000, Rockies versus Diamondbacks at Chase Field, top of the fifth, off of left-hander Randy Johnson. Wow. How about that? Johnson's looking right at you, can hand the ball over to the first baseman, and you stole second base off of him? I did not realize that. Ichiro did not come over the first position player until 2001, so that's pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Now, speaking of some Japanese players, speaking with Craig Counsell on, I believe it was Sunday, you know, he discussed a little bit about the success that Seiya Suzuki in particular, you know, has been having. And overall, it was just really delightful to talk with Counsell and be with the Chicago media members, you know, mostly because, you know, they were talking a lot about a lot of things that pertain to October. You know, they were talking about the postseason, and it was a kind of insight for a winning club that I personally just haven't experienced in a while. I'm sure I have in, you know, September's past, but since 2018, Colorado Rockies have not had to deal with that at all. And it's a kind of mental gymnastics or just mental exercise in general that, you know, a lot of us in the media haven't necessarily in Denver got an opportunity to think about and to ask those questions and the various implications that come along for the final couple weeks of the season. And, you know, maybe trying to play for that first round bye or home field advantage, whatever it may be, or really just trying to get your team healthy. You've got games to play. You've got 20 some games to play, 30 games to play, and yet you're really thinking about the first game of the second season, the first game of the postseason. So with seven consecutive losing campaigns, a franchise record for futility, it's been a while since we've had to ask those questions and think about those things here in Denver. You know, on January 1st, it's going to be 2026. So we're nearly a decade since having those conversations in Denver with the baseball team that we all follow and that we all are dealing with on a daily basis. So this is one of the reasons why I like to sit in with the opposing team's manager, because you get insight on a lot of things you might not normally think about when watching how the Colorado Rockies operate. I've said this before, if you want to be a better fan, or if you want to be a better media member, for any media members who are listening to this, and I've certainly had colleagues of mine that I've had to say, hey, you know, it might benefit you to not just parrot what the organization is saying and being a, you know, a real homer and a rah-rah rooter because, hey, they said this, so I got to take them at their word. Look around the league. Look at what the other 29 teams are doing. Not just maybe two or three that are doing what the Rockies are doing and failing at it. No, but look around, seeing what other organizations are doing, get new ideas. Think about, well, what if the Rockies did something like this? Why aren't they? What's been their luck in the past with implementing a strategy like this? So it has a lot of value to keep an eye on a second team. You know, I think that's why a lot of people in Denver have a second team, have maybe an American League team to keep an eye on, just, you know, to play the two off of each other and say, all right, if you follow the Mariners, look, this is what the Rockies have done in the past that have worked out. Why don't the Mariners do that? Or vice versa. The Mariners playing really well right now, looking like they're headed to the postseason again. Why aren't the Rockies trying to do things in the way that a smaller market city like the Seattle Mariners are doing things? You know, and please don't say, well, the Rockies have to be different. Don't say that. Because being quote unquote different and choosing to be different has made them one of the worst franchises in the history of the sport. There's a difference. Yes, every team has their own circumstances that they have to navigate that forces them to be different. Yeah, of course, all 30 teams, no two teams in Major League Baseball does everything the same. They do things differently. They might do a lot of things the same, but there's still a large majority that they do differently. The Rockies have, you know, saying that they have to be different and then justifying that difference and then failing when doing that different thing, that's not a recipe for success. They need to really start doing things more similar to other organizations that are having a lot more success than them this past 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years than them. So Council was asked how much better Suzuki has been this season. And he did say, you know what? Some of it does have to do with Shota Imanaga, you know, who obviously was around last year. That was his first campaign with the Cubs. But you've got, you know, a pair of interpreters, and there's a few other people in the organization that are Japanese speaking or Japanese born. So for the Cubs, it's, and for a lot of teams that do invest in players from the Far East, it's not just investing in the top tier contracts from Asia, but it's investing in those players and the support system around them, which makes it even more expensive and more change oriented than you might normally think. Can we say that the Rockies are uninterested in this because it would require such a drastic change? Maybe. You know, haven't we already seen them as a complacent organization unwilling to change? I would say yes. I would, actually. If you're looking for something else to keep an eye on down the stretch here, you know, Rockies are done with the Diamondbacks, but Jordan Lawler is back with Arizona. He's now 23 years old. He's been one of the top prospects in baseball for a while now and has basically been Arizona's version of Brendan Rodgers. You know, he debuted in 2023, late in that year, didn't do much. He was included on the postseason roster at the end of the bench, but got into only 3 games during that run to the World Series 2024. Diamondbacks weren't quite ready to hand him the big league job. You know, they had Perdomo at short. They had Marte at second base. Then they added Eugenio Suarez. So that left him out on the outside looking in. Lawler required thumb surgery in March last year. So he missed a lot of time. A hamstring injury cost him even more time. Only played 23 games last year. That's it. this year, did really well at AAA through mid-May. Arizona had to call him up, but they sent him back after about 2 weeks. You know, he only got in about 8 games, 22 plate appearances, didn't do much. I would recommend checking out Snakes Territory. They do a great job covering the Diamondbacks. I would argue the best of any Arizona Diamondback podcast, definitely number one in my book. So Jesse Friedman, Jack Summers, good friends of mine, they do an incredible job. So they broke down, you know, whether or not Lawler will fare well against big league pitching. I recommend you checking that out. And I recommend you engaging with me over on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on X and on Blue Sky and the Rockies Insider channel over on YouTube. If you leave me a comment, no matter what video, no matter how old it is, I will see that comment and I can respond back and we can go in a little back and forth. We can engage in a nice little conversation, or I could just answer one, you know, outstanding question that you have that you don't quite get. Like, it doesn't make sense, or something that you're just curious and want more information about because you want to be a better and more knowledgeable fan. Just put it in any video, leave that comment, and I will see that. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate all of your momentum. But that momentum, unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Thursday, even though there's no Rockies game.
Wayfair's big sale is here. It's Way Day, and it's on now. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. Now through October 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So build your cart and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.